Let's pray together as we get into God's Word. Heavenly Father, we're just grateful that we could be here this morning. Lord, some of us, maybe it was a real trial just getting here. I know that even just with little kids and so on, sometimes can prevent a great obstacle and to get here. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless everyone here for just coming and making that commitment to gather with your people. I pray that you'd grant a blessing. I pray that you would strengthen and encourage us in our faith, and those of us that might be seeking to understand who Jesus is, Lord, that you might grant sight to see that, see who he is. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're going to be in Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 through 9, and then briefly for a short time we'll go to the book of Galatians in the New Testament. So I have it up here on the screen, and we're again in the middle of this series called Hashtag Jesus, Following the Life of Jesus. And if you know something about the Bible, you're like, well, Jesus wasn't even around on the earth back in Genesis. How does that even fit? Well, that's where the Galatians passage will come in, you'll see. But we're kind of at the point in this series where we've not yet, you know, Jesus physically hasn't come on the scene yet, but today we're looking at a passage that points forward to him. And there are so many passages in the Bible that point forward to Jesus. Prophecies, things that God said in advance in preparation of his coming, things that God's people, you know, centuries ago held fast to those prophecies as promises that we're looking forward to the fulfillment of this. We're looking forward to experiencing even the benefits of that promised one, the Messiah. So, you know, this does fit in. It's just that we're not yet, you know, we're not yet in the series where we can actually, you know, Jesus has come to the earth. But so today we're going to take a look here at this Genesis passage, and I'll read it for you as you follow along there. It's also printed in the outline in your bulletin. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. That's the word of the Lord. So this morning, before we kind of just dive right into this passage and kind of pick it apart a little bit, it's always good to ask, you know, what comes before this, right? And so I was just thinking, you know, what came before God calling Abraham? Because that's really what we have here in Genesis chapter 12, those first three verses, is God is calling Abraham. And what's happening before this, the very last verse of chapter 11, Genesis 11:32, it says, "The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." Well, Terah is Abram's dad, Abram's father. And so what has just happened is Abram's father has died, and it's at this timing, around this time, that God speaks to him. And I just wanted to say, before we kind of get into this passage, really, just to think about this, that we often meet God when we're experiencing the brokenness of life. Anybody here had that happen to them? Right? You've something's happened in your life, maybe over a protracted period of time, and maybe the pain just got so great, or even the consequences of that pain got so great, or just something has caused you, in one sense, to look up and to call out to God, or He even spoke to you through someone else, or through the reading of the Bible, or something. I mean, you read things in the Bible that are just amazing, where God even speaks to people in dreams, and, you know, all this. And so I just want to say that if you're in a place like that, though it may be really hard, let God speak into it. Invite God to say, Lord, you know, what is it you have for me in this place in life? And it may not have been a place you've chosen to be, right? Many of us are probably sitting in this room thinking, you know, if you had asked me that I would be in this situation in my life right now, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever, we'd say, I had no idea. I'd have no idea that I'd be doing this, or that I would be experiencing this thing in my life. You could not have, it would not have been planned, okay? And so, but I just want to say that, you know, God can work through the pain of life, and so many times does. Do you know what really sometimes brings people to seek God is they get married, they have kids, they experience a death in the family. There's all of these life-changing situations, right? And maybe that's what brings you here today. You're in a life-changing situation. You're really in a spot. And I just want to say, if you would be willing to ask God to speak into that place of your life, He'll do it, okay? The Lord doesn't turn away people who are seeking Him. He's looking for people. It says, in the New Testament, it says that God is looking for worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and truth, okay? So I was thinking about this idea here that we often meet God when we're experiencing the brokenness of life. Literally, I was thinking back to one time, and many of you have heard the story, but so I'll just kind of keep it brief, but literally my foot was broken, not in pieces, but it was infected really bad after going on a missions trip. Actually, it wasn't as much a missions trip as it was kind of like an investigatory trip with some other pastors. We went to Honduras, and I came back, and when I was there, my foot got severely infected, and the infection was starting to travel up my leg. And, you know, there's nothing worse than being in another country, and not that other countries don't have decent health care, but I'm saying, in my mind, I was like, I'm in a place where there's not easy access to a really good hospital. So all through all of that, though, when I got back, we were to go on a vacation. Somebody was allowed us to go down and stay in their place in Florida. And so poor Linda had to do most of the driving all the way down. It was like 20-something hours. We did stop along the way. But was just thinking about, you know, that wasn't something that I would have chosen for myself. Oh, I think I'll just get my foot infected, you know, and be laid up for a few weeks while this thing heals up. Because, you know, that kind of, when you're a little less mobile and you got to be careful and all this sort of thing, right? But I got to say, in that experience, though, God spoke to me. When I was down on that trip in Honduras, God started bringing some things up in my mind. And so I started getting into God's Word, spending time, because that's all I could do. I couldn't go. I mean, these guys, they brought back pictures. They went into these incredible places in Honduras, and they went out swimming in this place. I'm just like, oh, this is like stuff you see in magazines. Okay, and knowing these guys, they probably went cliff diving, but I wouldn't have done that. But anyway, there on one side, I was like, I was really bummed, but on the other side, God really used that. He used that because then as we were down in Florida and we were praying about some things, God really, really spoke to me through His Word on some things very clearly. You know, you have those times if you're walking with God and you have a relationship with God, He speaks to you through His Word so clearly as if it was almost there Himself. And so I just want to say, you know, that's just one example, but I'm sure others could share examples of that kind of thing. Where God speaks to you in a situation, he'll allow something to happen, right? But He wants to really speak into it, and this is really kind of what comes before with Abraham, is God speaks into his life here, and so and this is where we enter into this place and where we have the call and the purpose here, and you know, in other words, God calls Abraham and He has a purpose for the calling. He has a purpose for this. And so the first thing is, as you look back in those verses in Genesis chapter 12, and it says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Those are the first three verses there. And so God is calling Abram to step out in faith and to trust him and follow where he leads. Because, listen, when you look at the verse here, it just simply says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house," and so on. It says, "to the land I will show you." You know, to the land I will show you. Where's that? You know, and if you look, you can jot this down. If you want to look at a cross reference in Hebrews 11:8, it says that he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, a lot of us guys maybe plan trips that way. Okay, we go out not knowing where we're going exactly. Not to totally generalize, but at least happens in a lot of guys' cases, okay? But this is you know, he's telling them to pack up everything. All his possessions. He's to leave everything that's familiar and go to a place that he doesn't even know the destination. Just pick up and start going, and God's like, "I'm going to tell you where you're supposed to go along the way." I mean, this is truly a life of faith, is it not? I mean, that's just really, I find that really challenging to my own faith, you know, to think about, would I really do what Abram did? And so, but God does, he does call us to step out in faith as Christians. You know, when you have a relationship with God, he does call you to continue to live a life of faith. It's not that you just become a Christian by faith and then you'll take it from there and you'll just kind of crank it out and do whatever you want or whatever. No, we're supposed to live a life of faith. Live a life of faith. And the certainly a big part of that is understanding what God has already said, what he wants for us. But so many of it is in shades of gray when it comes to our specific situations and what God wants us to do and where he wants us to go. Should I take this job or that job? Or should I, you know, all kinds of things like that, that it's just not real black and white for us what to do, right? And so God does call us to step out in faith. And I think it's important for us to realize that sometimes God will call us out to do something that we don't have all the details on in advance. Okay? And so many times I find that this happens to me just within the scriptures. When I find a command or a promise of God, and then it comes to apply it in a relationship, and I'll be like, "Okay, God, I know what your word says, but I don't see how doing this and you know, is going to work out." Right? We don't see how it's all going to work out. And I guess the thing there is to realize that we're not really as believers, as followers of Jesus, that's not our job to make it work out. Our job is to step out, right? Our job is to hear the call, whatever that might be, a command from Scripture, whatever, and act, right? And so to step out in faith and trust God and lead where he follows, that's what a life of faith is. That's what a life of faith is. That really, in one sense, is following Jesus, right? Now, the purpose, and really these first three verses, and in my study of this passage, just in reading different commentators and people that know their Hebrew, because I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but it seems to me from what they're saying is that these first three verses have a focus, and their focus is on, there's a purpose in this calling, okay? It's not just follow me to follow me. It's God's saying, follow me because there's something I want to accomplish through you, okay? And the purpose there, as we see it, is he says, "And I will make you a great nation." So this is a promise, okay? He says, you step out, you follow me, and I will give you lots of kids, and they'll have kids, and I mean, because right now he doesn't have any, Okay, you may not know that, but Abram and Sarai don't have any children at this point. So God makes a promise, and he says, I will bless you and make your name great. So he says God will bless him so that you will be a blessing. There's a purpose here. He says, so that you will be a blessing. God's saying, I'm going to bless you so that you will be a blessing. And if you follow the life of Abram, and his name gets changed to Abram, and Sarai's name gets changed to Sarah when they have an encounter with God, when you follow their life, you see how God truly blesses them, actually materially, all right? At that time, we're talking, you know, flocks and herds. That's your money, okay? That's your bank account, is how many sheep, how many cows, all of that. I mean, this is the commodity, right? And so he was very wealthy. God did really bless him in that way, all right? And God did bless him with a child and then another child and so on. But we need to see here is that this was all, he was to be a conduit for blessing, all right? He was to be a conduit through blessing. And this is what God wants to do with us. There's more to this blessing, and I'll get to that in a minute, but I want to camp out here for a second. Do you believe that God is blessing you in some way right now? It might be a skill, it might be an ability, it might be financial, it might be situational. He's blessing you, and that he wants that to become a blessing to someone else. We're going to watch a video here, so Ryan, if you wouldn't mind pressing play, and we'll watch this.
Hey guys, Caesar here. While there are still a zillion things that I may want in life, well, okay, maybe just a few thousand, my life has certainly been filled with an abundance of blessings and awesomeness. While we were driving the other night, my wife Tina and I spent a little bit of time discussing some of the things that we have to be thankful for. The things on our list may be similar to yours. They were things like our relationship with God. We're grateful for that. We're super thankful for how close we are relationally to our grown children and how much fun we're having with them these days. Our home and our community. And if I went for the long list, it would fill several pages. And it would include many more large blessings like health and friendships, etc. And lots of smaller things like my iPad and guitars and so on. But there would be a lot. Now, some close friends of ours who live here in Tacoma as part of a missional community once took this to the next level. After they'd had a meal together one evening, they attempted to make a list of everything they collectively had been blessed with in their lives. Everything. Okay? And they took some of those large, sticky 3M note pages, you know, like that you can put up. They're about 2 foot by 3 foot. And the 10 or 12 of them started writing down everything that they had in life and considered a blessing. And this exercise took over an hour. And when they were finished, large white pages were stuck on the walls all around the living room and dining room and hallway and upstairs a little. And they were filled with pretty small, like, writing, full, okay? The blessings and resources listed were extensive, and they included lots of things, like their skills and talents, even like things like dishes and bedding, lawnmowers and tools, education and experiences, and on and on. It was amazing, and they were amazed. But now they're also challenged. Perhaps it can seem hard at times to feel like your life is filled with blessing. Hardships and disappointments often rob us of that sense. And it can also be challenging to know how to live as a blessing to others. Let me give you some help here. A conduit, right? A conduit is like a pipe. It's something that water or electricity or any other supply is routed through to another place. A barrel, on the other hand, is for storing up resources, for holding on to them for later use. God is looking for conduits of his grace and generosity. He's not looking for barrels to store these things in. Okay? Coveting our things and acting as if we are our own source of income or supply or money or time, etc., shows that our hearts are not at peace and ultimately trusting God for these things. We feel like we need to hang on to our stuff because we believe it's in short supply. Well, which do you most often represent? A conduit or a barrel? Everything you have in life has been given you to both enjoy and to be a blessing to others. Go ahead, tip over the barrel. You've been blessed to be a blessing. The world is watching, our neighbors and our coworkers are paying attention. The next best time to pour out more of God's blessings into their lives and see if He doesn't turn up the faucet of His grace in our lives is now. What are some of the things that you've been given as a blessing to others? Let me know in the comments below or on Facebook. I'd love to celebrate them with you. As always, thanks for watching.
Blessed to be a blessing. And I really believe that. I mean, the word says it here that God blessed Abraham to be a blessing. I think that there are other scriptures that would bear that out. I mean, when you take a look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it talks about let your light shine before men, right? And a way to let that happen is to by being a blessing to others, right? And this is what we're talking about here is no strings attached, guys. We're not, as believers, we're not to attach a string to something and say, you can only have my blessing if you believe. You can only have my blessing if you give me a blessing back. No, this is no strings attached, okay? One thing I wanted us to do is something that's been on my heart is trying to figure out how God wants our church to be a blessing where we are in this community, okay? Where we are. And something that happened this week, some of you know for years I've gotten together once a month with three other pastors, Phil Shomo, Tom Bernardo, and Tim Tabor. And Tim and his wife have been here to talk about the Como Church and the refuge that they have there for people who are trying to get out of addiction, and so on. But we're starting to get scattered around the U.S. now. Tom's out on the West Coast in California. Phil's over on Hilton Head Island. I'm sure it's rough there. Just kidding. And now Tim's still in town. But so we did a video conference to kind of do our normal thing. The only thing that was missing is that people couldn't hear us all cackle and laugh in Panera anymore. So we were quite the riot in there. But one of the things that was shared during that time really got me along this theme. One of the guys shared how there was a church in the Atlanta area that basically said, you know, how can we be a blessing to our community? And one of the things they did was they, and I don't know the size of the community or whatever, but they tried to find out what are all the nonprofits in this area and how do they operate to help people, right? I guess we're talking about nonprofits that have the desire to provide a service of some sort, right? And what they discovered was that it wasn't real convenient for people. They had to go from one place to the next and this, that, and the other. So one church, what they did was, I don't know if they built something or if they just kind of used the space they had, but they invited these nonprofits that they felt like were kind of in alignment with what they were trying to do in the community and basically offered them an office so that people could come and more efficiently get their needs met, just going from one office to the next. And, you know, that was just an example of somebody trying to identify what were the needs in that community and how could they partner with those. Now, one thing I've learned is that it usually doesn't work to try to replicate everything that somebody else does. But my reason for sharing that is to say, I want us to really be praying as a church. How can we be a blessing to our community? Lord, show us. Show our leaders, right? And then also, just as individuals, how can we be a blessing to the people around us? I mean, and you know, maybe it's where you live, your neighbors, your coworkers. Maybe it's when you're in the grocery. You know, I like to bless the people at Sam's Club by taking their samples. You know, because I hate to see those people, nobody come to their little cart. No, I'm just kidding, yeah. But think about this, right? For example, I mean, I think if we're open to this, we'll see these opportunities, okay? Wasn't long ago that I had a student in tears, not because of my exam that I gave, but because there were some circumstances going on in their life. I mean, I barely know this person, okay? And so after class, they're out in the hallway, and I could see the emotion, right? And I didn't know what was going on. So I was supposed to talk with another student after class, but as I walked out the door, I said, and they could see that something was going on, I said, could you give me a minute? And I had this student follow me down just to the end of the hallway and had the opportunity just to listen what was going on. It wasn't about math at that point. It was about what is God doing? What is God doing? And so I was able to offer to pray for that student. You know, and if I could have just, and there would have been times, I'm sure, where I might not have done anything because I'm not always responsive to opportunities that God provides. But I believe God wanted me to be there as a conduit for blessing. Okay? And so sometimes we think it has to be this huge thing, right? I'm just saying if we're willing, if we, you know, we say God has blessed us to be a blessing, maybe it's our walk with God that would be a blessing to someone. Say, listen, I've got a connection with God because I'm one of his kids. You know, maybe I could take you to God and pray about that and, you know, whatever. Or maybe there is an actual physical need that you have a skill and you have an opportunity is provided to you. It doesn't have to be a program. Maybe it's just a sensitivity that you have to God. And so I want to take just a couple of minutes here, okay? And this is what I want you to do, okay? Now, I promise you that I will not make you do anything, okay? Because I don't want to ever do that to anybody. So what I'd like to do is just, you know, a group of people around you, what I'd like you to do is, and somebody will be the designated prayer. They'll just offer. Somebody around you, I'm sure, will be comfortable just praying aloud in a smaller group. So I know that not everybody's comfortable doing it. So I'm not saying you got to do that. We're not going to go around the circle. We're not doing that. Just one person, okay? Or if there's another person that wants to just volunteer to pray, that's fine too. But I'm saying just have a designated prayer. Somebody that wants to do it. And I want you to pray for two things. I want you to pray that God would show us as a church how we could be a blessing to our community. And the second thing I want you to pray for is that the people that are represented in your little group there, that God would show them this week some specific ways they can be a blessing, big or small, whatever it might be, okay? And so, again, you don't have to do anything. You're not comfortable doing that. Just listen. You know, you can just listen to the prayers or whatever. That's totally fine. So just turn around, gather up in groups of five or six or whatever. I don't care how many. Just take a minute or two, and then I'll kind of close that part off in prayer so you know when we're done. Okay, so just take a minute. Turn around. If you don't know who you're talking to, you can just say, hi, my name is blah, blah, blah. But then somebody offer to be the prayer. Somebody offer to be the prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for the fact that these verses here point us forward to a real purpose. And we're not just here to take up time and space and accumulate things and then die. But Heavenly Father, we know that as a church, as your church, as your people here, just as Abraham was representing your people and what would become your people, Lord, that you called him and wanted to bless him to be a blessing. And so, Lord, we just amen these prayers. We ask and pray for direction, for sensitivity to how we can meet the needs of people around us. Not so we can get anything out of it, not so that they'll even come to church necessarily, but we could be a blessing and that you would get the glory for that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for doing that. I think it's important for us to see, you know, this is part of our mission, right? God's called us on mission, and part of that mission is definitely to be a blessing to others. So, now, sometimes, I was thinking about this, you know, a lot of times we think that we know the best circumstances for us being a blessing. We know exactly what should be happening in our lives. We know exactly how much should be in our bank account. We know exactly what situation we should be in order to actually be the most effective blessing, right? I was thinking about this, too. I was listening to a podcast the other day when I was on the treadmill, and this person was saying, and this is so true, guys, this is so true. It was about church leadership and about church revitalization and stuff. Because, as you know, pastors of churches are just so interesting because, you know, everybody that's not in a building, they're mobile. They wish they had a building. And people that have been in a building for years kind of wish they were going mobile again because that's where the growth is. That's where all the churches that are growing are doing, you know. And it's like there's this, you just feel like, well, if I was just doing this, then I'd be effective and I could be more of a blessing, right? And I like this quote. I found it on the Truth for Life website. It says, there is no ideal place to serve God except the place he sets you down. In other words, right where you are. Right where you are is where God wants to use you as a blessing. Now, that's not to say that he won't call you out to step out in faith and move on and do other things. He does that, for sure, right? But don't just think, well, if my circumstances were different, I could be a blessing. Or if our church had this or that or the other, we could be more of a blessing to our community. No, I think and I believe that, you know, God has placed us in this place, in this time, in this community, and you, in your house, in your job, with your kids, yes, with your kids, and, you know, so that you could be a blessing. So that you could be a blessing, so that you could serve someone, so that you could help someone, so that you could minister to someone, right? So, now, there's a greater purpose in this blessing. I mentioned this before. And when you look at those verses there in verse 3, Genesis 12:3, it says where he says, at the very end of that calling that God places on Abram's life, he says, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And you're like, what is that? Because it seems a little bit different than the other first part of the blessing. This seems to be all-encompassing. Everyone, all the peoples of the earth would be blessed. All the families. That's fascinating. Now, when you read in the New Testament, though, and you look in the book of Galatians, and Paul speaking to these group of believers who were, among other things, saying that you have to work your way to heaven. That it's not by God's grace alone. It's by keeping the law, by keeping the commandments. That's how you go to heaven. That's how you are saved, if you will, okay? And so that's a very simplified way of expressing the purpose of Galatians to be written, was to correct this wrong thinking. But listen to what is said. Here it says in Galatians chapter 3, 7 to 9, it says, know then, that is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. In other words, it's not about the lineage. It's not about where you're from or who your parents are or anything like that. But it's those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham, who are his offspring. And it says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Think about this. This is the gospel message back in Genesis, looking forward to what would come. And it says, and he quotes the very thing that we saw, in you shall all the nations be blessed, or all the families be blessed, right? And then verse 9, so then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And he's simply just reinforcing that, and in the context, and you look at the verses around this, he's really saying, Jesus, those who believe in Jesus, who put their faith in him, those are the ones who are made right with God. Those are the ones who are really, truly Abraham's descendants, those who are of faith. Okay, it's not like you have to be, he's saying, it's not that you have to be born a Jew to kind of experience the blessings of God. Is this really what he's saying? Because he's talking, you know, because back then it would have been, you're either a Jew or you're a Gentile, which is just be a non-Jew, right? Okay, in the simplified terms. And so what he's saying is God has made a way and has his purpose before all time that everyone would have access to God by faith. And so even in the Old Testament, how people became believers was really by faith. By faith. These guys, eventually, you know, God keeps restating his promises to Abraham throughout Genesis, right? restating his promises, encouraging him with the promises that he's made. But make no mistake, this verse connection in Galatians 3, it's pointing toward Jesus. It's Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that's going to make a way that if we put our faith in him, we'll be born again. We'll become God's people, his children, really the sons of Abraham in a sense. But it's all by faith. It's not by doing good things. It's not by, keeping the commandments. Don't do this, don't do that. You know, that, I mean, I think as an expression of our faith, we kind of want to do those things when we become believers, even though we still struggle with doing them or not doing them. But it's really about faith. Faith alone, right? Faith in what Christ has done. And so that's the greater purpose here in calling Abraham. I'm sure in some ways, you know, Abraham did not know the details of this particular blessing. He didn't know how this was all going to work out, right? And how, you know, David, King David, would come about, and all through that, and then through the line of him would be Jesus. He didn't have all that detail, okay? But he believed the promises of God. He believed the promises of God. He believed what God said, and the scripture says in Romans chapter 4 that that's what made him right with God, was his faith in what Christ has done. That's what made him right with God. Now, the other thing just to mention here is that, you know, those first three verses of Romans chapter 12, that's the call. And then the last six there, in verses 4 through 9, those are all about his response, Abraham's response. So here's the call. God's been speaking in these first three verses to Abram. Now what will Abram do? And that's what happens with us, right? God speaks to us through his word. We know clearly what it is he wants us to do, or whether it's something clearly written in scripture, whatever. We know what it is to do, and now comes the response, right? Now comes the response. And so here we have in verse 4, so Abram went. No big commentary. He went. So he went as the Lord had told him, and then it gives the details that Lot went with him. That's his nephew. And it also mentions that Abraham was 75 years old when he departed Haran. I mean, I think about this. I think about this, when God, he told him to take up and leave and take everything he had, go to a place he didn't know where he's going. I mean, this is pretty risky. It's risky for a 24-year-old. How about a 75-year-old? Okay? Think about that. 75 years old, and God was calling him. And so I just want to say here, age doesn't matter, guys. Age does not matter to God. This relationship with God is to be vibrant, and it's to be a faith-based relationship no matter what your age. He wants you to trust him. He wants that. He wants you to be like the Caleb in the Bible, right? Who was like 80 years old, and they still had some people to rout out of the land. He's like, hey, man, I mean, let's go. Yeah. I mean, that's paraphrase, but that's what happened. You know, there were still some fighting to be done, and here he is, 80 years old, trusting God, willing to do God's will. And so I say, you know, I don't care what your age is. If you're a follower of Christ, God is wanting you to live by faith. He's wanting to speak into your life through his word, and he's expecting you to have an Abram response. That's what he's expecting, which is really this. Yes, Lord. You know, I don't have any, it's not rocket science. You know, because at that point it's like, am I or will I not? Will I or will I not? That's just, there wasn't a middle area. Or there wasn't a yes, maybe later. No, he just said no. He's calling me to do this. Now is the time. Yes, Lord. He went as the Lord had told him. And so, you know, when we look at this, Abram went out. I mean, sure, he brought all the stuff with him, which is fascinating. Some people believe that maybe God had him take everything. Because some people say, why didn't he just leave everything behind? And some people conjecture that, well, maybe he would have thought back, maybe that's kind of like an escape hatch. I want to go back to the things I had back there. Let's bring him with us. We're all in, okay? And that's what the Lord wants us to do, is he wants us to be all in, and he wants us to say yes, Lord, when he clearly speaks to us through his word. But he went out, really, aside from those possessions and the people, the few people he had, he went out with nothing other than the promise of God. He went out with nothing other than the promise of God. Everything here is predicated on God keeping his promise. Everything. And let me just say this. As a follower of Christ, if you're a follower of Christ, you need to stake your life on the promises of God. Okay? Whether they're about relationships, whether they're about money things, because God has a lot to say about money, and I'm not talking about giving. I mean, he mentions a little bit about that, but I'm just saying just about how to handle your money, just good principles. You know, all about these things, you know, just how you conduct your life, right? And so God calls us to trust him and say, yes, Lord. And we need to just live our lives by the promises of God. Because, you know, we just need to not put any parameters on God, okay? He didn't know. Abram didn't know how it was going to work out. We mentioned this. He didn't have a road map. It had one dot. It said go. That's it. Okay? But he said, yes, Lord. I was thinking about, I had something happen this week. Every week, some of the pastors in the city, we prayer conference. We call in, and for a half an hour, we pray. The focus of that prayer time is always for our kids. I find that pastors' kids are definitely seem to be on the front lines of the enemy's attack. So we decided a while ago we were going to call every Friday at 4:00, and we're praying for our kids. Okay, you know, my kids are adults now, but they still need prayer covering. Right, as we're praying, and I usually have my Bible open because I like to pray Psalms or things like that, and or something will strike me from a psalm and I'll start praying about it. And so I one of the things and there's, you know, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, you know, it's just you, sometimes you're like, should I pray this, or you're kind of evaluating, right? And so this verse in paraphrase form would come to my mind, and here was the verse. Let me read it for you. It was in the book of Romans in chapter 15, and then in verse 13. It said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And we were praying on the theme of hope. It was kind of, that's how it was happening, as one of the guys was praying for their child, and they were praying that they would have hope. And so that verse came into my head. I couldn't even remember the reference at the time. And so, but I basically prayed what that verse says, you know, that this child of this pastor would abound in hope, that they would experience the hope of God, and so on. And then I prayed the first three verses in Psalm 1, all right? And if you're not familiar with that, and again, it was in paraphrase form. I wasn't quoting it. I don't know that I have word perfect, but basically it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither. And so there are some promises there about walking in the path of the righteous and not being swept down the stream of the wicked. Okay, and so I was praying that for some of these kids. And one of the guys on the call stopped me. He says, I just got to tell you, those two verses you just prayed, God has been laying on my heart for my kids. Okay, and let me say, that doesn't happen to me all the time. But I'm just saying this. That was God prompting for prayer. That was like, Greg, will you even obey me to pray this? Right? Just a little thing. I mean, it's not a big thing. These guys, I pray with them all the time. It's not like a big risk. But it's saying, you know, God, make me a man, make me a Christian that's more like that. That is just, you know, watching for you. Like on a God watch. So that I can be a blessing. And when you call me out to be that blessing to that person or to that group of people or to our community, that I'll trust you for the results. I mean, so what? So what if it didn't turn out that way in the prayer call? Who cares? I prayed scripture. That's great. Right? Big deal. I prayed truth. Okay? And so I'm just saying that, you know, when we talk about this yes, Lord, here, that's what God wants of us. And I get it. I get it. You know, so you don't know me. Some of you don't know me that well. So, you know, we probably have trust issues then, because you don't know me. But as you get to know me, hopefully you would trust me, okay? And with whatever, you know, I mean, well, not with whatever, but you know what I mean. We could spend some time on that, but we won't. So I'm just saying, the point here is that when you know God well, like any other relationship, you can trust him more, right? It's no different than any other relationship in that regard, right? The more my relationship with God develops, you know, and it begins by putting my faith in Christ. That's where it begins. Just like life begins at a point in time, you know, life with God begins at a point in time when we believe, put our faith in Christ. And then it grows. That relationship with God grows as we feed it, right, through the Word of God and through the other means of growing that he's given us with each other and, you know, and so on. And we grow in our trust, you know? We grow in our trust of God. And we're able to say even more quickly, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Because that's what Abram did, not knowing where he was going. And this is really where God has us. You know, he really wants us, I believe, today, this week, this year, as individuals and as a community of believers here, Lord God, bless us so we can be a blessing. I want to end with a psalm today, and this used to sing it as a group of churches a long time ago, back in the 80s. That's where real music came from. We all know it. And I know young guys would agree with it too. Yeah. Maybe not. Okay, listen to this. Psalm 67. It's a short 7 verses. But listen. Listen if you can get the themes of how this ties in with what we've been sharing today, what we've been getting from God's Word. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. This is directed at God's people here. Okay. That your way... Whose way? God's way. That your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all the nations. Do you get that call? He's like, God, bless me. Bless us as a people so that everyone will know that you are God. That all the nations, he even says, will know that you're God. Don't bless us for our sake. Bless us, God, for your sake. And then he goes on, he says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity, and you guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the and then it says, the earth has yielded its increase, meaning, you know, what the earth brings forth, its produce and so on. He says, the earth has yielded its increase, God. Our God shall bless us. He shall bless us. So let all the ends of the earth fear him. And I just say, let that be our prayer, guys. God, bless us as a church. Bless us as individuals so that others will know you. So that others will be brought to attention to you, not to us. We're conduits, not barrels. Like the guy said, we're conduits. Not to hoard all of our stuff, our gifts, our talents, our time, our whatever. But we're to tip them over and let them flow to the people around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time in your word. Thank you that this word is true. It is right for all time. And Lord, today, we just ask you that you would bless us and continue to bless us so that we could be a blessing to others. Thank you for the blessing of salvation that has come through Abram, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the one who did nothing wrong, who died on the cross for our sins, and who offers eternal life and forgiveness and salvation. And even it says life to the full now to everyone who believes. To everyone who believes. Lord, thank you for that. And we once again, Lord, just ask and pray for clarity as we move forward here this week. Let us as individuals be sensitive to your leading to be a blessing to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.